And on the back, on the bottom, you'll see our confession. And what I encourage people to do, in fact, Danny, who's not here today, the Perez family is not here, but Danny said, you know, I started doing this. He had a testimony when he was baptized. He shared his testimony. He said, I heard Pastor Tom say that if you take these daily confessions and do it every single day, you'll notice changes in your life. And he said, it works. So let's read this together. Ready? Read. I am a child of God, and I am filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I am a new creation in Christ. I walk in love and can never fail because love never fails. My faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. As Jesus is, so am I in this world. I walk in truth and joy, and I hold fast to that which is good. God has told me in His Word who I am, and that will never change. God loves me. God is for me, and He will never leave me nor forsake me. I am a child of God, and it does not yet appear what I shall be. But when I see Him, I shall be like Him, for I shall see Him as He is. As I walk in these realities, You will fulfill Your word and will in my life, empowering me to occupy until Jesus returns for the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, that covers all the bases. So we got the bases loaded and Jesus up to bat. We're continuing our series this morning, Occupy Till I Come, is our June series. Last week, the subtitle was Sharpen Your Sword. Sharpen your sword. Are your swords sharper this week than they were last week? Rhema, the spoken word of God. You know, it's enough to, you can bring your logos. You can bring your logos to church with you. You can bring it to work with you. You can have it in your car in the passenger seat. You can put it on your coffee table. You can do it. You can read it. You can know it. You can really have a good knowledge of the word. But until you start speaking it, you're not going to have any faith. You need to speak this word. That's what Jesus did to the devil in the wilderness. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God. You can look that up. Rhema is all over. There's 50 times or something throughout the New Testament that word is used. And it's also used in relation to the sword of the Spirit. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. The devil doesn't want to be around that. It's sharp. And it cuts. And he can't get his wheelchair going fast enough away from that. After what Jesus did to him, he's basically in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed. Defeated. Yeah. Amen. Well, last week we started in Luke 19 about a nobleman who left his servants in charge of his property, and he went to receive a kingdom. And we know that this is a likening of Jesus going away to receive a kingdom, giving us, investing in us wealth and riches and expecting a return on it. And he said, occupy or trade or do business until I return. What he expects us to do with what he has invested in us is to multiply it. That's what that's saying. And as Christians, I mean, it's easy for us to occupy a seat or a pew in a church every single Sunday and be faithful to that and not do one thing that the Lord said. Amen? Yeah. I know that's not true with this church because I know you. But it's easy to do that. It's easy to feel like you're fulfilling God's will in your life just by going to church. It's like we said last week, you know, people say, I'm committed to the Word of God. I believe the word is true and I'm committed to the word of God. And then they look to God and show me a sign or do something with my commitment. It doesn't work that way. No, he gave you his word and said, do it. do this. We talked about T.L. Osborne. T.L. Osborne, somebody asked him one time in an interview, he said, T.L., Reverend Osborne, how did God call you in the ministry? It must have been a supernatural, powerful time in your life. He said, actually, God never called me into the ministry. I just saw that place in the Bible that says, go ye into all the world, and I did. And he showed up. So the Word of God, you've got to know that when you walk out in the Word will come alive. Don't be comfortable with where you are now. Do what he said to do, and the Word will come alive. We are to be about our Father's business. What's his business? His business is people. That's the true riches. The true riches is the people that God wants to reach, that God wants to come into the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't deny anybody the right. I don't care who you are. Do you know that Saddam Hussein, if he turned to Jesus at the last minute? What about the thief on the cross? He was being executed too. Because that blood is so powerful, and it is speaking and speaking and speaking to God. Better things than the blood of Abel. It is speaking mercy. It's on the mercy seat of God. Speaking mercy. And every time you think that you've run out of mercy, it's just beginning. That mercy is deep and wide and great and powerful. Hallelujah. He wants all to be saved, doesn't he?
Yes.
So he's expecting a return on his investment. What is that investment that he invested in you that he's expecting a return on? Come on, help me. Help me. What is that investment? Just throw some words out.
Reaching the lost.
But there's a word for it. What is he invested in you that he is expecting return on? These are questions you got to answer.
Faith.
How about salvation? Eternal life.
Yes.
Eternal life. The Zoe life of God that is the nature and life of God that is in you. It's the substance that made God God. That's in you. Eternal life is in you. That's what he's invested in you. He's invested his love. He poured it out in your heart. He invested his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to get this thing done. He invested promises. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, it says that he has, not will, he already has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. I was Tony the Tiger there for a minute. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we become partakers of the divine nature.
Wow.
That's who you be. That's who you are. You are a partaker of the divine nature. That needs to be your identity. That the nature of God is in me. I am in him. His nature is in me. That needs to be anchored. Let that sink down in your heart like an anvil. That reality, that truth, that you are a partaker of the divine nature. That who you are now, the recreated you, is who you will be forever. So let's get started on the good stuff.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Let's start growing and going. Jesus has empowered us with the Holy Spirit in order to steward his investment and to make it profitable. He desires that we be fruitful in managing his interest, which is the gospel of our salvation. There's no other way that he has designed. I mean, you can't have enough programs, do enough manipulative things and gimmicks and so forth in church and smoke machines, light, do all of that stuff and expect that to work. the simple word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is the only way that he has given us to change a human life. Amen. It's the only thing that can. Nothing could change me. I was an atheist. When I was 16 years old, I turned atheist. When I was 20, on my 24th birthday, I was born again. And I went from total darkness to wow. And I've been growing and growing, kind of digging and scratching for what I can get. There have been times that have been empty and times that I've tried to, like that song said, he breathed on me. I used his breath and sang my own song. Amen, haven't you? But the Holy, you weren't born into a system of rules to live up to. You were born into a family with a father. Amen. And his love is greater. Greater. It says his love is greater. It says when our heart condemns us, he's greater than our hearts and he knows everything. So let's get in the acceptance column, in the I am of Christ, I am of God, and greater is he who is in me than he. Let's get in that, and that envelope, and let's live there. That way we don't have to fight for victory. We live from victory. Amen. It's the vehicle of the gospel. In the gospel, that's where we are to become honed and skilled and wise and able to and equipped to reach the lost with the gospel, with the power of God. That's what the gospel is. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is what? The power of God unto salvation. To the Jew first and then also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from heaven, from faith to faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're talking about occupying. We're talking about living. We're talking about fulfilling our call in our life so that we can stand before him one day and say, well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Amen. Say, well, I don't know if I have that gift of evangelism. Every Christian has the gift of evangelism. What is that? It's your testimony. If you're sitting at work with somebody, invite them. Say, hey, would you and your husband like to come with me and my husband and have dinner, get to know each other? And then when they see you, bow your heads and give thanks. It's going to minister to them. This is just living out a Christian life. Say, well, I don't want to force anything on them. Look, they're forcing their life on you. Wouldn't it be only proper to do the same? You go to the grocery store and those people on the bench are smoking cigarettes and you inhale that stuff. I got a spirit of my own. I don't need that spirit going down my throat. Ah, call that lucky strike. Whack! We were there though. That was me. That was you. Amen. So there's effective ways. You just pray and ask the Lord, how do I reach this person? How do I reach that person that looks like they're totally frustrated with life at the grocery store? Speaking of the grocery store. How do I do that? I mean, what if they slap me? Well, you ought to check up on the record we have with the Apostle Paul and talk about who's slapping who here. He just took it in stride saying, man, I'm going the right direction. Because if you're not getting any opposition, chances are you're going in the same direction as the devil. And he's lazy. Don't be lazy. It's not a matter of will he or won't he. No, he's already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's the knowledge that we need to dwell on and meditate on, the knowledge of God who has called us to glory, virtue, and the things of God. I mean, look, if you have the divine nature, who can stand against you if God be in you and for you? If they oppose you, they're opposing the gospel, they're really opposing God. It's his gospel. They're opposing God. And ultimately, they're opposing themselves. That's why in 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, in meekness. In meekness, instruct those who oppose themselves, that peradventure God would grant them repentance so that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who is entangled by his own will, who's taken them captive by him at his own will. Praise God. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to get into this a little bit. In fact, this is a good time right now just to open our hearts. Open our hearts. Let's do that. Father, we just open our hearts to your word. We thank you, Lord, for the power and the authority of your word. Lord, we give it first place and last place in our life. And if anything in us doesn't agree with your word, we ask it be washed and cleansed from that, that it be corrected or delivered from it. In Jesus' name. Lord, we want you so that we can, with a pure conscience, full of faith, stand before you and hear those words, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, Lord. So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Boy, that's good. That's good. You need some life, something in your life that died. You need to come back to life. The word, you get it from the word. This word is life. It's incorruptible seed. You need a new harvest. You've got seed inside you. You start planting it. So everything, the word of God is everything. Praise God. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, start there. This is another version, another audience. And he's saying, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Say that. God has delivered his goods to me.
God has delivered his goods.
I said he's delivered his goods to me.
He has delivered his goods to me.
Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That feels good going down. Keep reading. Verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. So we have a man of means here who is planning to leave and to return, and he called his servants and gave them his own goods in amounts that reflected their own unique abilities and talents, and he departed. Verse 16, keep reading. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's money. See, he was afraid he would lose it if he invested it wrong, so he just said, you know what, I'll just put it here. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with him. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Pregnant pause. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you're a hard man. He's judging his Lord. You know, there are Christians who are judging God. I'll get into that in a minute. I knew you're a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not strawed. And I was afraid. You know, remember when Adam said, I heard your voice and I was afraid? You bring a curse into your life when you operate in fear. I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth. And lo, here. Here's what's yours. And the Lord answered him and said, wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have strawed not. You ought therefore have put the money to the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received my own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which has 10 talents. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. This is sobering. This is sobering. We need to look back at this. Look at this and take it seriously. Jesus wasn't just talking words to make people feel good or to rub their emotions and to massage their mind and to relax and say, it's okay, everything's going to work out. You know, I mean, if you have less, I'll make sure you have more. No, God is not a socialist. No, he's just, and he delivers what is due. Amen? Yeah, it'll all work out. I mean, God, you know, I'm under grace. I'm not under the law. That's a total misapplication of truth. Paul told Timothy, rightly divide the truth. There is a sharp edge to this, and Jesus wants us to know because he doesn't want us to show up after we dug our talent up out of the ground that we never used for him. Never used. Praise God. So let's look back at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, he is saying, this is the way the kingdom of heaven works. Here's how it happens. Here's what you can expect. I'm going to my Father, and I'm receiving my kingdom, and I'm coming back to set it up. He called his own servants and delivered to them his own goods. He has invested so many things. There was a list of them here we looked at earlier. Eternal life. The new creation. Covenant blessings, promises, fellowship of the Father with Jesus and empowered with the Holy Spirit to be stewards of what he's given us. Stewards of his interests, to maintain his interests, which is people, because he doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He delivered his own goods to us, and unto the one who had 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1 in verse 15. It says, to every man according to his several ability. Now you have in you a unique ability. Some of that, it's artistry. You're good at pictures and drawing and sketching and painting. And some is sculptures. Some is music. Using it for the glory of God. Some is teaching. Leah, I mean, come on. Look. God said, you're faithful over what? Few things. This isn't complicated. What are the few things that he's given you to steward over, to maintain, and to multiply? What are the few things? You know, then when life gets complicated and you get messed up and everything, so look inside and see what you've added to what he's given you to do, the talent that he's created you with, and then he has gifted you according to that talent. He's put people in your life, instructors, teachers, people who can take that gift and help you along. Ultimately, it's God working through them, but he's trying to develop you. Some of it, it's athletics. Man, what a privilege. What a privilege to live in a country where you can just make millions of dollars playing baseball. And if that country has enabled you to do that, it is a sin against God to kneel at that flag. So there. It's the way it is. Verse 21, he said, and his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Underline that, good and faithful servant. It's up to us to find out what that means. What is a good servant? What is a faithful servant? How can I adapt to that? How can I acclimate to that? How can I put that to work in my life so that the things that I do are good and they can be counted as good and worthy? So, well, you know, this sounds like works to me. You know, if you're talking about justification, there's no works you can do for that. But this is above and beyond that. This is the things that will bring rewards. This is what Jesus is talking about here. Good and faithful servant, underline that. You have been faithful over a few things. Underline that. So then, when you get into a rut, into a hard place, and life doesn't make sense to you anymore, you can look inside and say, yeah, I took the wrong fork in the road there, Lord. I'm sorry, forgive me. And go back and go do the things that he's called you to do, the few things that he has put in you that you can multiply, that you can excel at. Because he created you for those things. And he says, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Underline that. Ruler over many things. And then enter into the joy. See, you see a pattern here. He says it to one. He says it to the next. Good and faithful servant, faithful in few, ruler of much, enter into the joy. Say that with me. Good and faithful. Faithful over a few things.
Faithful over few
things. Ruler over many things.
Enter into the joy.
I said, enter into the joy.
Oh,
yeah. Praise God. The Lord declares him good and faithful. You have been faithful, therefore, you are made by him. You know, I used to, when I was doing investments and insurance and things like that, I would look at an insurance company. I'd look at their past 10 years and see what they have done, because what they have done in the past, that's what they're going to do in the future. I look at their claims. Are they prompt on their claims? Have they received complaints? If it's a mutual fund or something, I look back 10 years. Have they been paying dividends? Was there any time in the past that they, because what they've done in the past, that's what they're going to do in the future. This is what Jesus said. You're faithful in few things. Now you'll be entrusted with more things. To be made ruler over many things. So as you have been delegated authority over your life, now God is giving you, he has called you good and faithful, declared by God himself, good and faithful with that. Now you can delegate authority to those above you to serve his purposes, not your own, like Congress. Don't think this is a political rally. Look, we live in a corrupt world. This is a corrupt thing that's going on, and this country is being overthrown. So why is that? Well, because men slept. The righteous have said, oh, I can't get involved in that. Well, they just got involved over you.
Right.
So, and we have not been good stewards of God, this country that God founded. There's two nations that God founded. One was Israel, the other is the United States of America. And we have not been good stewards of it, and we've let the devil just come in. Yeah. So, look, this is today's scripture. This is scripture is going on right now.
Right.
This has become living color right now. Did I say it loud enough? Maybe I was. I don't know about you. I want to enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to be faithful in those things. And some people, God has given the ability and the talent and gifted them in politics. More power to them. But they are responsible to represent us, not themselves. And right now, there's too much self-interest in there. We've got to weed that out and get that out. Amen?
Amen.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. You know, Jesus places such a high value in faithfulness. And if for nothing other than the fact that he values it, we should value it. Faithfulness. So Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. What does he say? Did I say Matthew 25?
Yes.
Oh, well done, that good and faithful servant. I jumped back. Let's look at a few things that God's given us. Let's take that off the screen, Barbara. There is a premium of exchange in the kingdom of God, and that premium is faithfulness. Let me say that again. There's a premium of exchange in the kingdom of God, and that premium is faithfulness. And it is exchanged for promotion. In faithfulness lies your promotion. Both times, the guy with 5 talents, the guy with 2 talents that doubled them, God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Many. Look at the few things God has delivered to you, just those few things. And if you don't know what they are, you haven't been paying attention, because it's not that God isn't speaking. People aren't listening. God's always speaking. He is always speaking to his people. I want to talk about something now about faithfulness. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. And fruit is a product of seed. It's a product of a root system. And faithfulness has 5 different root systems. One is submission. The other is accountability. The other is commitment. The other is consistency. And the other is stewardship. There's no fruit of stewardship. There's no fruit of accountability. There's no fruit of submission. No, all those are support systems to the fruit of faithfulness. Well, catch up. Well, I'm trying to get through this, but if you listen faster, I'd get through it faster. Here we go. So, submission. Accountability. Commitment. Consistency. Stewardship. If you want to be counted faithful, these have to be the root systems of your life. You have to wake up. Submitted to the Word of God. You know, I got this, actually. And the guy didn't even realize he was giving me this whole teaching. When Lori and I were called in. We ran a nursing home ministry. This is a personal testimony. And if you consider boasting, yeah, we'll boast in the Lord, because he made us this way. But a personal testimony in the fact that the executive pastor called us in. We ran this very effective nursing home ministry. And we had 3 nursing homes we were ministering into every Sunday with 50 volunteers. And it was a really great ministry. And it was organized. And we got our reports in all the time. Every Sunday night, we emailed our reports in. Unless somebody didn't mail theirs in, we hold it up. But we'd send an email saying we're still waiting for a report. Anyhow, we were faithful in those things. So the guy calls us in and he says, here's what we're doing. He says, I was reading the book of Numbers and I got all really convicted about the fact that I don't know what's going on in a lot of the outreach ministries, but I know yours because I always see your reports. I know who your volunteers are. You have very little turnover year after year, maybe 1 or 2 of them for valid reasons because they're going into another ministry, whatever. And he said this. He says, I know you're submitted to pastor's teachings. I know you're accountable because I get your reports. and you, with the information that I need. I know you're committed to your own growth and ministry. You're consistent with your tithing and everything, and your giving, and you're good stewards of this. And he went through this list, and I was taking notes. And out of that developed this teaching of fruit sacks, S-A-C-C-S, submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. Those are the five root systems of the fruit of faithfulness. And you know, if you're faithful, you don't have to tell everybody that you're faithful. It'll show. You know, a lighthouse, it just shines light. You know, it doesn't have to blast cannons off to call attention to its light. I don't have to go everywhere and say, I'm a pastor. I'm an apostle. I'm a prophet. You know, if you are, just be who you are, and it'll be obvious. You don't have to blow your horn.
Right.
Say, well, I'm prophetic. I'm an apostle. Really? Okay, well, so what? People say, well, I operate in all the nine gifts of the Spirit. Well, it's wonderful. Is that supposed to benefit me somehow from knowing that? How are you adding to the life of other people? Or are you just drawing attention to yourself? No, that's a lighthouse that sucks its own life back in, and it's no good. It's ineffective.
I love that children's song about not hiding it under a bushel.
Just let it shine. Just let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Faithfulness is not doing, faithfulness is being. You can't do faithfulness. You can only be faithful. Obedience is a product of faithfulness. And obedience is what we do in response to God's word. But anyone can be obedient when they're asked to do something. And the question is their heart in it? My dad said, take out that garbage. Okay. There's your garbage. Is there any reward in that? Come on. Is there any pleasantness in that? You know what I mean? So obedience and submission. You know what? You can obey, but that doesn't mean you're submitted. But you can't be submitted without obeying. So the heart is in submission. When you're submitted to, and people, you know, the world thinks that that's a weakness. So, well, they're so submissive, man. They'll do anything. They're afraid of saying no. That's not submission. That's cowardice. That's shrinking back so that you won't, to avoid conflict or anything. You getting this? Is that sinking down? Is that getting it down in your heart? Faithfulness. That's where God looks. He looks on the heart. He reads the table of your heart. Submission is not a doormat for the world. See, this is all part of faithfulness. And if you're going to be a faithful servant, you've got to know these things. Submission is not weakness or agreeing with everybody to avoid conflict. Submission is not being fearful of doing wrong. Like that guy who buried his talent because he was afraid he'd lose his investment and disbelief. So he said, I knew that you're hard, man. And if I lost it, I would have paid for it. Really, you're assuming. You have a wrong image of God. That's like the children of Israel saying, he brought us out in the wilderness to kill us. We're all going to die. After all that they saw, after everything they saw, and they kept on saying, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die, we're going to die. Okay, God says, okay, at 85, you're going to die. That was a disrespectful bunch of people. Disrespectful. You can't do faithfulness, just be faithful. If you make that decision now that you're going to submit to the word of God and submit by doing it, that's what submission is. It's by doing it. Submission is this. It commands respect from others and it commands respect from God. You want God to respect you, your prayers? Boy, that's big, isn't it? If every time you went to God praying, knowing he's there, what do you need, son? What do you need, daughter? What do you need? Boy, that's huge. What a comfort. Commands respect from others, from God, and from God. Think of Saul of Tarsus, a murdering, zealot, self-seeking, self-promoting murderer. Transformed. After 14 years of submitting, and look what God did. The most powerful prophet, teacher, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, all five ministry gifts, operating in all of the gifts of the Spirit that we have record of in the book of Acts. And he walked in more love, except for maybe John. I'd say it was pretty equal, because Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. If you want to get rid of pride in your life, start submitting to the Word of God. If you want to get rid of arrogance and wrong perceptions of God, just start submitting to his Word. And his Word will do the rest. The Word is powerful. Let me, one more scripture, because our time is slipping away. Submission is a necessary attribute of the faithful servant. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I want to just get into this as we close. In verse 16, Jesus said, "You'll know them by their fruits. Not by the miracles, not by the prophecy, not by their calling in office or whatever, office of ministry, but by their fruit. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you shall know them." What are the fruits? The fruit reveals the root. Now, to start this whole chapter, I didn't write this down, but in the first verse, Jesus said, "Judge not, lest you be judged." And all of this is an outworking of being judgmental, being self-righteous and everything. And he's talking about this. Judge not, lest you be judged. You got to go back and start saying, "Lord, let me examine this. How am I judging people?" Don't tell me you're not, because we all do it. Gotcha. "Oh, I'm not judging. I'm just..." Yes, you're judging. Here. "Hey, you got a splinter in your eye. I don't like that. I see that splinter and it's bothering me. It offends me. You've got that splinter and I let me help you out with that. Let me help you. Give me a tweezers, will you?" When they're going to need a crowbar to get the thing out of your eye.
"You've given me a whole new picture with the blank in your eye."
Good. That's what it's meant to do.
Yes,
because we're all, you do that.
Absolutely.
It's true. You know, so-and-so, they're just, well, you know, well, who are you? When you do that,
yes,
you are flipping that. You have glaring issues of your own. And you're talking about that person?
Yes.
You have no right to talk about them until you've prayed for them for a couple of hours. How much time have you done praying for them? Praying for God to touch them and to take that, or God to send somebody into their life that can. And if you've been delivered from something, like a board, and you see a splinter in somebody's eye, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to go and say, hey, you've got a splinter in your eye. But if they come to you and say, you know what, I had that same problem myself, and here's how God helped me, and very mercifully and gently, you can come alongside of them and say, we're going to do this together. How's that? I remember in that, there was a movie about a baseball player, a pitcher, and his right fielder once had a ball bounce off his glove and into the stands, and it was a home run, but it wasn't really a home run. And the news media was making a joke out of it and everything. And he said to him, you know, you can go out there, there's a whole media waiting to just laugh at you and make a joke out of you. He says, don't give him a chance. Here's what we'll do. Next time we come back here, we'll work that wall together. And we'll make it right. You can't cover up the mistake now. It's gone. But we can learn from it. And you know what that guy did? He came back. And he overcame that. That's how you help people. That's how you become submitted to the will of God and the Word of God and what the Word of God says about them as much as it says about you. Look, the ground is level at the cross. And all of us, we need each other in the body of Christ. There's nobody who's better than anybody else. There's nobody who deserves more than anybody else. There's no, we all need to cultivate faithfulness in our life and be a faithful servant. That's how we occupy till he comes. Otherwise, the world is laughing at us. They're saying, look at that. I mean, are you kidding me? That, and they say that they're saved. What you're bringing their judgment on. Just don't do that. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Be a fruit inspector of your own life and judge your own fruit before you judge anybody else's. In fact, don't even do that. Judge your own fruit. If it's not something you would eat, then it's certainly not something anybody else would eat, and it's certainly not going to be appealing to the world. Amen? God deserves a lot more than that from us. He's faithful, and we need to be faithful as well. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it will stand forever. Help us. Lord, we look out and see it so vast sometimes, and how do we do this? But Lord, you just gave us a few things. Do these things, these few things. And Lord, we're going to examine our hearts, and we're going to take those few things that you invested in us, and we're going to make them work. We're going to make them work right, and we know that you'll work with us in signs and wonders following, or whatever it takes, or just a simple word of truth that cuts down into somebody's heart and shows them how much you love them and how much you've done for them. We ask your blessing on us as we leave. We also, if we realize right now things in us that haven't been right, we receive your forgiveness. Our faith is in the blood. We ask you to wash us. And we ask, Father, for the word, the scriptures that you've given us to correct us and instruct us in righteousness, so that we can confidently walk with you right into that eternal life and that eternal destiny that you have for us when we stand before you. And we want to hear those words. Well done. Thank you, Father, for simplifying these things and for jerking the slack out of us because you love us. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for anything, please come forward. Our altar ministers will attend to you. Meanwhile, there's refreshments in the cafe. Avail yourself of those. We will see you next week. That is if the... when's the ladies' meeting? Oh, the 21st. Okay. Oh. Factoid. Yeah. But take this word with you. And let it sink down deep into your ears and just receive the love of God, because that's why he gives it to you. Enjoy fellowship in the cafe. Meanwhile, we'll see you next week. God loves you. He's got a plan for you, and he wants you to walk in it freely. Amen. You're dismissed.